from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Whether you're just wrapping up the night shift or on your way to start the day, we got what you need.
Welcome to the Morning Shift.
It's the most mid-team in history.
A whole new way to start your day with nationally televised reporter Tiffany Blackman.
Any pizza for me can be a personal.
Can't wait.
Former Falcons and Alabama offensive lineman Mike Johnson.
I've had my butt chewed by Nick Saban a few times.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
And Atlanta sports radio guru Bo Morgan.
You know who I am? I'm Squid Bill.
You tell him I'm coming! And hell's coming with me, you hear?
It's a new experience.
And a new take on a sports morning show.
The Morning Shift is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Good morning. This is The Morning Shift. I am Bo Morgan. You know me as Squid Billy. He is the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon, and, you know, guy that wrecks you in iRacing, Mike Johnson. And she is the Emmy Award-winning, as Dylan tells me I have to introduce her now, 11 Alive's one and only Maria Martin in the house with us today.
Maria, you don't have a dog in the fight here, but every time Bo does that, yeah. I just tell him it's not probably as cool as you think it is. And now that you're here... And you've got a chance to listen to that twice. Actually,
three times.
No, twice. You didn't do it yesterday.
You didn't do it yesterday.
I didn't do it yesterday?
No.
Yeah. So,
I don't even remember yesterday. I honestly don't even remember yesterday.
I don't either. Yeah, it's a little bit out of pocket. We were obviously out of breath when we got in here.
That's why.
1 to 10. I'm not telling you to tell him not to do it. Just 1 to 10. What would you give his good morning?
So I was literally about to just tell you, the first time you did it, I was super impressed. It was really loud.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we were in closer proximity when you did it for the first time.
And a headset was on.
Right. This time, it wasn't as loud.
It dwindled a little bit.
It did.
Yeah.
It fell off a bit this morning.
And usually, I'll be honest, it's usually the opposite. I think he dials it down when we're on one of these boom mics like this, and he can kind of move away.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like one of those singers that kind of moves the microphone, you know, getting their really high note. But, just wasn't there today. I don't know if you're scared or nervous or anything, but if you're scared, go to church, man. You know what I mean? Because it's a beautiful Thursday.
Well, probably not as much as I should, but I do. I don't know. Maybe it's yesterday took a lot out of me. It was a long day, so maybe I'm a little drained. You know, I did have to cut the grass at one point when I got home from
Same.
The whirlwind.
I did too.
Hey, well, it was nice and hot outside. You wanted to sweat some bullets
I
out.
Was
you could.
Drenched, bro. I mean, drenched. Maria, I'm assuming you're probably not a grass cutter, which
I'm
is fine.
I'm not. I am not.
Is your husband
That's
a
confirmed.
Grass cutter?
He is a grass
he
cutter.
He cuts his own grass.
And what's
That's
funny.
That's hard to do as a high school coach. I've been there, man.
It is. And it's funny because, you know, he has super long days. And he'll be like, I got to go outside and cut the grass. I'm like, when are we going to pay the kid next door to cut the grass? Because, like, you are struggling.
I used to have one of the other coaches who was actually the offense coordinator with us at the time, you know, kind of similar situation. He'd always say, that's the easiest check I write every month. No problem.
I'm going to convince him one day. I'm telling you guys. I'm going to text you guys and be like, Levi is finally paying the kid next door.
I cannot tell you how many Thursdays you'd get home from that walkthrough and you'd be like, I got to cut the grass.
You know what's funny is everybody that lives around me is like, we'll pull up when I'm cutting the grass. All my neighbors I'm you know, buddies with. So when are you going to start letting somebody else do this for you? And I'm like, when they do it, first off, I don't have a huge yard. Yeah. And I like when they don't overcharge me for it, for one.
Yeah.
But like my neighbor, the guy, Carter, that I play in MGA with, yeah, he's a young kid. He's like, man, I got a guy. It only costs you $40.
Got a guy.
And I go, I looked at him. I was like,
every good conversation starts. I got a guy.
I don't mind cutting the grass. I did tell him yesterday, I go, hey, ask your boy what he'll blow my leaves for every other week. Because there's so many trees around my house, I don't want to blow
my
leaves in the fall.
This man's already looking forward to November, right?
He's planning ahead.
Blow those leaves. I'm going to lay a tarp out in the driveway and blow those leaves.
No, I just blow mine in the backyard. It's nothing but pine straw back there anyways. I'm like, nobody's going to notice any leaves.
Oh, man. All right. We got an action-packed show today, man. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Like you may have seen on the socials, I think Steak talked about it yesterday, Bo and I caught up with Kirk Cousins yesterday after practice. The exclusive interview you won't want to miss at the top of the hour. We talked to him about all kinds of things. A little bit of football midway through the interview. We kind of broke out from that. I asked him what it was like living near the in-laws now, which can be new for a lot of people. I asked him what it was like. This is his first training camp in the South, right, which can be a lot different. He goes, well, yeah, God, you know, if you don't count Richmond as the South. I was like,
no,
Kirk, I don't. That's not even, we're not even the same ballpark, dude. Like, I don't count Richmond as the South. I don't know about anybody else, but no. If it snows more than four times a year, I'm not going to count that. So,
yeah, I mean, you can even question if, I know it is still near the same in Nashville, but at times you can question that because it gets pretty cold up there. Yeah, that I kind of laughed when he said that you don't count that. I'm like,
no.
I mean, I wanted to be like, this guy played like 5 years in Tuscaloosa, dude. Yeah, that's worse than it is here.
Dude,
and I grew up here. Like, no, and August is the worst month in this state. August is absolutely the worst. And it's funny because you always think about July because we're going back to school and football's starting. August is the worst month, so it's just now getting started. Now, he was great. He had a couple answers just about football with me that I was blown away with, especially one about how he treats practice. And then I really got him going with some food talk, man.
Yeah, some food talk. I thought, for me about some places up in Buford.
I did not realize how – I went back and made sure – I went back and looked at the interview yesterday when we got home. I did not realize how long he talked about food.
I love that.
Yeah. Maria, you've lived around a couple different places. Where's the hottest place you've lived as far as August goes? Because I know that – obviously, I haven't lived as far south as you have, and I'm from Florida, but – Tuscaloosa to me, and I looked at Tuscaloosa's weather yesterday, the heat index was 108, so I'm curious what you've got.
Yeah, I feel like, I'm from South Florida, as you know, and there's a breeze, so it's a different kind of heat.
Right.
Like, it's very hot, and I've worked in Miami, but it's different than Tuscaloosa. Like, I lived in Montgomery, Alabama, and I think that's the hottest I've ever been in my life.
So
I thought
bad.
I was dying.
Yeah. And I'm sure your husband, obviously a Troy Gray, I'm sure that his training camps were absolutely brutal down there as well. And I tell people all the time, and I used to say this out of Flowery Branch, and yesterday is a great example. It was hot in Flowery Branch yesterday.
It was, but
it
not.
It was still breezy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know if I really sweat that much before we talked to Kirk. Now, obviously, practice earlier in the day, I think it was probably 10:30 by the time we caught up with him.
Yeah.
But I wasn't even sweating at that point. And I'm like, dude, it just ain't the same.
My favorite thing is when we get the players that come from everywhere but the South.
Yep.
And they come here and they're like, oh, this isn't that bad. It's fine. And we're talking to them in July. I was like, oh, boy, you better buckle up. You got a month to go, and then let's reconvene this conversation.
Well, look, man, Terry Fontenot caught up with the guys yesterday and Andy and Randy. And, as hot as it might be, he says this team has improved in a lot of different areas.
Take the quarterback out of it, and then I will go right to the front, the line of scrimmage. And when you say improvement, I can't say improvement because it's our same offensive lineman, but I would say I love our offensive line, and I love what they are, and that permeates your whole team. Your offensive line and who they are, and you guys know that, they set that tone for your whole team, and I put our offensive line against anyone. We're very excited about them. But then you go to the other side, and you want to win up front, you want to win the line of scrimmage, but you look at our defensive line, and we knew we had David and Grady, and obviously Grady was out for most of the year, and then with David, but now outside of those, we added a lot to that room. And obviously, Zach coming back, TQ coming back, those young players that are really developing, doing some good things. But then you got Rook and Brandon Dorlis and Big Eddie, and you got so many guys that when you look at that defensive line, we got some big, physical, powerful dudes. So I would say you just look right up front and look at our O-line and D-line and know that we're going to be able to really battle in the trenches.
Guys, I'll be honest with you, man. And look, there is we are amongst the biggest Falcons fans. I know that, and we work in the business and everything. But I heard Josh Kendall actually talking about this yesterday, and Josh Kendall from The Athletic, the beat writer. Are we supposed to believe, and I want to hear from both of y'all on this before we get a break, are we supposed to believe that this defense this year is better than last year's defense? Because that's the one thing that I've come away with, and I'm having a really hard time believing with the absence of who we thought was a great DC and Ryan Nielsen and Calais and Bud Dupree and really not getting anything back in those roles. I'm having a hard time believing that.
Well, first off, let's not act like everyone was just glowing about Bud Dupree this time last year. In fact, I was told by a lot of people, media and fans, that we were getting a guy who was couldn't play anymore and would never stay healthy, and he went out there and had a good year. Calais Campbell was obviously different because of what he's been around. But I will say that you did add, you didn't, it's not like there's those guys weren't replaced. You just replaced them with young guys. So, yeah, I think I understand that we don't go into it thinking that we're better off. But I think I am optimistic about what Mike Hughes is at right now, a little bit more than I was Jeff Okuda last year. I'm very optimistic about Braylon Trice and Brandon Dorlis. These are young guys. James Smith Williams, who honestly, to me, will play the Bud Dupree role in a different way, but that's kind of what he replaced Bud Dupree, Maria. But we just don't know exactly what Jimmy Lake wants to do, if it's going to be more system or Jimmy's got his own kind of plan for it.
Yeah, and you can tell that they really like James Smith Williams. I mean, he's been trotting out there with the ones pretty much all of
Good
camp
point.
So far. But yeah, I mean, to your point, we don't really know. We don't know what Jimmy Lake is going to look like as a defensive coordinator. And yeah, they addressed the defensive line in the draft and they picked up these younger kids. But really, aside from that, nothing indicates that they got drastically better than last year. And it's really hard to measure that when we don't really have a good sample size of any of these guys that are probably going to make an impact for this team. But you make a good point. Bud Dupree was somebody that no one spoke about last year. We had no idea that he would have the impact that he did. And now what happens now that he's gone, we're going to see.
Yeah, we are going to see. Well, one of the guys you just talked about, Bo, was Mike Hughes. He did some visiting with the media yesterday. And listen, a lot of talk about inside, outside, nickel, everything under the sun for Mike Hughes. So we'll hear from him on the other side of the break. We'll also get some Braves in that Tater Fest that was up in Milwaukee last night. Don't want to miss it as the morning shift rolls on. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're going to get on down now.
We're talking all things Atlanta sports and beyond. This is The Morning Shift.
Make some noise!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, it's a mental hurdle. But, you know, coaches don't throw anything at you that they don't think you can handle. But for me, being at one spot is helped me laser focus on just that one job. And because playing inside and outside is kind of two different worlds, you know, as far as technique and just the whole mental aspect, like I said. So just being at one spot has helped me get really comfortable and just dialed in on what I need to do.
That's Mike Hughes talking to our very own Day-Day Lewis. What was that, 2 days ago, Day-Day, talking about the difference between inside and outside, man. And I thought that's a phenomenal answer. I don't think – and look, I get this question all the time about offensive line play, the difference between right tackle and left tackle and switching from right guard to left tackle and back and forth. It's a different animal. It's like picture a boxer going into a boxing match and then all of a sudden they're like, hey, you got to fight southpaw. Like, it might look the same to a lot of people, but it's completely different skill set, man.
It's funny how we don't think a guy can transition from playing, like, quarterback into wide receiver. And, like, that's a hard transition. That doesn't make sense. But we automatically go, well, why don't you just slide him inside? I mean, it's not that hard. Just slide him inside. Just slide Caleb McGarry inside. If I had a dollar for every time I've heard that in this city, and I would just be like, Why do you think that they can do that? Like, why do you think it's so easy? Well, it's just you just move in one spot. But if they were better there, don't you think they'd already be playing there?
Right. And look, the rotation, and Maria and I were just talking just a minute ago. I mean, the rotation, you know, that is coming right now with Mike Hughes getting that first shot, and we'll hear from Jimmy Lake in just a second. Mike Hughes getting that first shot kind of on that outside corner spot, and a lot of people saying, oh, well, you know, Clark Phillips and Mike Hughes will just kind of flip back and forth, you know. And that's just not what you've seen. It's been Dee Alford kind of at the nickel, and Mike Hughes has so far just been one of the feature guys on defense.
Yeah, and we talked so much about how he was maybe going to be fighting for a starting roster spot going into camp, and now it just seems like each and every day that goes by, he's doing more things to solidify the fact that he should have a starting spot on this roster. And going back to the line for a second, I think it's funny because you do hear guys that have to switch positions, whether they come from college, and then in the NFL, coaches will transition them to somewhere else on the line. And if you pay attention to what they say every time, it's, well, it's a learning curve, you know, I don't have any experience wherever they're moving. And so it is really funny that people are just like, why don't you just slide over and play tackle?
I could go off on that for about an hour. Hey, look, Jimmy Lake talked yesterday and he was talking about, look, Mike Hughes, he's earned the right to try to get this.
Nothing motivated that. I would just say, you know, Mike's a really good player for us. He's played really good football in his career. He's a guy that can do multiple things for us. He can play inside. He can play outside. He had a really good spring, and so he's earned the right to have more reps and play with those guys.
Boy, if Jimmy Lake ever decides to hang up the coaching shoes, he's got a future in radio, doesn't he? I mean, that guy.
He needs to stay in coaching.
I know he does. he's had an okay run at that one, too, I guess.
No, I'm kidding. I think it's good that they've given Mike Hughes that opportunity. But, you know, I've been thinking about it, too. And I know that, you know, Dee Alford and guys like that are taking those nickel reps right now. If somehow Mike Hughes was to not earn that job, though, at the outside corner, and somehow Clark Phillips takes it from him, which would be it would have to be that way, you know, I would just automatically pencil Mike Hughes into that nickel because he's one of the few guys that knows how to play that spot. He did it very well last year. At the end of the year, Mike Hughes went through a little bit of a rough patch and then some injuries in the 2023 season. But by the end of the season, I thought he was playing pretty well in that little nickel spot. Now, you know, me and Arch had talked about some of the things he could do, and so I think it kind of looks good. I know people keep bringing up the Gilmores of the world and these guys that are out there on the free agent market. None of those guys are signing until the season starts anyways.
That's everybody's decision. It's the team's and theirs. I'm sure they've gotten offers somewhere.
And I could go ahead and probably take it a step further. I wouldn't expect to see any of those signed until week two, because then you don't have to guarantee their contracts. And those teams are definitely looking at that, because a lot of people at this point in the year, cap space is an issue.
Yeah. All right, the Falcons talk is going to roll on. We'll talk plenty more about Mike Hughes, and also, like we talked about earlier, Bo and I caught up with Kirk Cousins. You'll hear that at the top of the hour. But for right now, we got to talk about a little bit of history being made in Atlanta last night. You saw the double back-to-backs by Matt Olson and Lil D. Here's what it sounded like.
Travis d'Arnaud, are they going to do it again? Deep left center, yes! Twice today, back-to-back for Matt Olson. Travis d'Arnaud.
That's Brendan Gaughan, and that is Bally on Xfinity, by the way.
It will be today.
Is it? Wasn't yesterday?
No,
August 1st.
I was ready to congratulate them on their return to the to the cable airways.
You're premature.
You'll see it today. Yeah, that happens to me. You'll see that today.
I don't know if I'd admit that on the air.
It happens to me all the time.
What does? It does? Mike, they got pills for that. Andy talks about him. Anyways.
How did we get here?
Look, it was actually...
You jump at the news, okay? I get to the news early, all right? I get to the news early. Okay.
It felt like a throwback day yesterday. It felt like a throwback to 2023 because Olson, he goes, Oppo, and then he pulls it, and then... I'm going to tell you something. It's fun watching Travis d'Arnaud hit home runs. We call him Little D around here. And because he doesn't hit a lot of them, but when he does, I mean, they're big yickities. I mean, he really got into both those balls yesterday.
Many taters.
You know, yeah, and Chris Sale gave you... Chris Sale gave you a good outing. Wasn't his best outing, but he gave you a good outing. And now you're only 6.5 back of the Phillies, and you're a game up in the wild card.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy because we were texting about the Olympics and then you were like, wait, not to pivot, but this game feels like a playoff game. And it really did. It had a lot of shades of what the Braves were able to do in the playoffs when they were playing really well. It's something from the offense that gives me a lot of encouragement because they have been so up and down. Obviously, it's why they're 6 games back of the Phillies and why there is a large gap in the division. But this means that things are coming together for them at the plate. Something that I've wanted to happen for months now, and I've been confused why they haven't been able to string it together. Matt Olson having one of the most uncharacteristic seasons that I think we've ever seen in his career. And it was the first time that two players hit back-to-back homers twice in one game since two guys in Houston did it, one of which named Jose Altuve, on September 4th, 2023. So, you know, this team, finally, they've done this. It was very encouraging to me. I was excited about it.
It's the baseballs. They after the All Star game they switched to the live baseballs.
Have a question about that. Do you believe that's on purpose? Because I think that is a thing. I'm just not sure that it's something that Major League Baseball planned out. I think it's something in the process with the baseballs. Maybe it's manufacturing during the summer or whatever it is up at Rawlings or wherever they make these baseballs. I just think something happens in the process that at some point you just go, these baseballs are just different. They're just different at some point and they start flying out of the park.
What if I told you that maybe it's a money cost thing? Maybe it's cheaper to make the dead ball, and then so they save the expensive balls for the second half where they get in the postseason.
Do we know how many baseballs they go through in a calendar year? Just Major League Baseball, just period. I would have to think it's something in the realm of 50 per game, not more.
I'm sure. No, it's more than that. I would have to imagine it's more than that. I would imagine that an average full inning you'd go through like maybe 7 or 8 balls at least.
You know what I didn't consider too is batting practice, home runs, and foul balls. I mean, that's got to be 50
you have to factor
in
that
in.
That's part of the day.
Yeah, that's definitely part of the thing. So it's a massive amount. Look, here is Travis d'Arnaud talking about his home run after the game yesterday.
Feeding off one another, but I've always told him anything he can do, I can do better. So just had to show him that, and we had fun with it. I've never seen that, 2 back to backs in the same game, so it's pretty cool to be a part of.
Yeah, 900,000 baseballs is estimated, but that is not including practice, spring training, or the postseason.
Wow.
That's a lot of...
900,000. So you got,
that's a lot.
Are we at 1 million if you factor in everything else? We at 1 million?
Yeah. I mean, you're over 1 million. You're easily over 1 million.
Way over.
I don't know, dude. 162 games, and you had, I guess you had a pretty good amount of postseason, but still, man, that's a ton. A ton of baseballs, man.
Reading about Soler's return to the locker room, you apparently could just see how this almost seems like a move to make everyone excited again in that locker room, because they talked about Soler as a teammate. Apparently, at one point in time when Luke Jackson was talking, Charlie Morton just came right up in the middle of an interview and gave him a big hug and then walked away. It's kind of cool to see these guys back because they're locker room guys. Solaire did draw a walk. He went 0 for 3. I think it's interesting they're not going to play him every day to start because Snitker's trying to work him in, because I think we forget that there is a difference in playing in the field every day and then sitting on the bench and going up to bat every four times.
Well,
which has helped Ozuna, by the way, not having to worry about that.
Ding.
Sure.
But I do want to ask both of y'all, too. I mean, we saw Matt Olson's first home run, and it kind of wasn't the same as Jared Kelnick from two nights ago. But when you start seeing these guys hit opposite field homers, especially a guy like Matt Olson, who has just not found the right swing plane so far. I mean, he was, before the last few days, he was on pace to hit 21 homers this year, a year after he hits 54. Now, obviously, that's jumped up a little bit. But, Bo, you kind of pointed out this morning, you start going opposite field with a guy like Matt Olson, man, and there's just something about a left-hander hitting an opposite field home run.
Yeah, it's a timing thing, I think, with their mechanics and everything in a baseball and a golf swing is timing and with your mechanics. And when he's hitting opposite field, it means he's locked in. We saw it with Freddie.
Yeah.
We've seen it with Marcel. Austin Riley, same. These power hitters, when they have power either side of the field, but when they really get their timing down, they can take the pitch and put it out and not have to do too much. And that means they're not late. They're not early. It's so you know what? It's my word of training camp. So refreshing.
Yeah. That's very nice. Now, that's where the encouragement comes from me, is the opposite field hits, because you know that Matt has power and we've associated him so much with the chop house and he's able to hit there. Well, once he starts hitting opposite field, that's a really good sign. It means that very good things are to come for this Braves
Keeping
lineup. I'm excited about
in.
It.
Giving the old front shoulder in.
Exactly.
Taco. All right, this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. We come back. Terry Fontenot talks about doing it for the fans. And we'll get some more Olympic gold updates. And Olympics has been a lot of fun to watch so far. Stick with us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You gonna make me buy bottles for
Charlemagne. You gonna make me. Good morning. Yeah! Back to more of the Morning Shift
with Tiffany, Mike, and Bo on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 6:43 here on a Thursday morning. Hanging out, talking a lot of Atlanta Falcons. Coming up at the top of the hour, you will hear me and Bo talking to QB1, Kirk Cousins. A lot of fun yesterday after practice. Maria Martin hanging out in studio with us today. She's been kind enough to join us now back-to-back days. Hopefully we are not scaring her off anytime soon, but great info so far, man. So, do you have to get in bed a little bit early last night?
A little bit. I tried. Yeah. I got a long day again today.
It can be harder than people realize to actually go to sleep.
It's so hard.
It's
especially because I'm used to being up
exactly.
late at night yeah. and watching games at night and stuff. So I'm laying there at 9 o'clock and just staring.
Are you a melatonin user?
No.
Yeah.
It makes me feel bad the next day.
Melatonin to me, so I've had to like settle into it. The biggest issue I ever had with it is it makes me dream just crazy dreams.
Yeah,
just
I could see that.
Crazy, crazy dreams. But I've had to settle into it in the last couple of years doing this job, and it's a lot. It's a useful tool. Useful tool. I don't know. I don't think you use melatonin.
No, I don't need help falling asleep. I can fall asleep anywhere.
You're going to definitely be that uncle at Thanksgiving that is that guy that has his fingers crossed on his chest like this or right on top of his little belly and just,
everyone's
just goes
taking
to sleep.
Pictures
a little trip
of you.
To fan gets you.
Yeah.
During Thanksgiving, have you ever fallen asleep like with your plate on you?
Oh, that's
are you
question.
Are you one of those ones?
I don't know if he's there just yet.
I mean,
getting there.
Do I look like it?
Get put in a food coma. I know I am. No, I ain't falling.
I feel like you're capable of it. I don't think you do it often, but I feel like you're capable of it.
Yeah.
No, I will fall asleep, but not with my plate sitting on my stomach. I mean, I'm not a slob.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
You know, like I
your standards.
I know how to. I will. I'm more of a one plate, and then I go back over and over and over again, and then start grazing because I'm one of those people that if I'll eat a big meal, and like an hour later, I'm like. Kind of want another dinner roll, maybe another slice of
her
turkey.
Grazer.
Yeah, I'm a grazer. Bad grazer.
All right, so the Atlanta Falcons yesterday took the practice field. They had to move it up. If you listened to the show yesterday, we all got up to Flowery Branch. We realized the power was out at the facility. We all beelined it back down to Midtown to be able to put a show on the air, and then all three of us headed back up to Flowery Branch. Maria obviously having to do her work. And me and Bo catching up with Kirk Cousins after practice. But practice moved around a lot yesterday, moved up, and it was a little bit different vibe out there. And it has been throughout camp because the fans are not there, right? Well, yesterday, Terry Fontenot talked to the media, and he said, look, man, wins and losses are great. We want to make our fans proud.
Look, our expectation is we all have high standards because of what we see out there, right? We have a lot of belief in this team. We never put specific numbers on it. We just want to get the most out of this team. Like, that's what, when you go into every year, what you want to know is that we got the most of everything. We got the most of this team. When that adversity comes, which it is going to come, we handle it the right way. We have a resilient team. We have a tough team, and we're getting the most of it. And you want, again, for our fans, like, you want to represent our fans the right way. You want them to be proud of this team. You want them to know that whether it's a home game or whether I'm going through all this travel and these headaches to go see my team on the road, they know that when I come in that stadium, we have a good chance to win that game, and they can go away proud. So that's what we want. So how that looks, exactly how many games or whatever that is, we just know that we have a lot of confidence in our team, and we want to make sure we get the most of it.
Maria, I'll be honest. I'm not going to say it scares me, but whenever somebody says, oh, wins and losses, it is what it is. We just want to make our guys proud. I'm like, are we supposed to be excited about that? Because, look, the fans will get another look at this team tomorrow at Mercedes-Benz.
I have more respect for people who come out and say wins matter, because they do. And at the end of the day, wins are what measures a team by your success. And I think, you know, I haven't been around Atlanta for very long, but I've been here since 2019. So I've been around the Falcons a decent amount of time to get a pretty good pulse on the fan base. This, to me, feels the most excited they've been since I've been here, which, for good reason. They're excited heading into the season, all that good stuff. But I think one of the most important things that I took away from all those conversations yesterday up in Flowery Branch was Kirk Cousins was asked by Joe Patrick about Matt Ryan's comments to the team and this fan base and what it's like. And Kirk said that my biggest takeaway was, this is a city that if you win, it would be something incredibly special. And it was one of his biggest pulls to Atlanta. So, yeah, it does matter. I mean, the fans obviously matter, and it feels so bizarre not having fans in Flowery Branch.
It does.
It doesn't feel like training camp. It just feels like, I don't know, OTAs or something. But I really want them to say that winning matters, because it does, and we're at the point where the Falcons really do need to win and to prove that all this work that they've had in the offseason is going to pay off with, hopefully, wins.
It's funny because, and I was trying to do it too last year, like get myself excited about Desmond Ridder and about what the offense could be. It felt very manufactured last year from GM, head coach, and honestly, Arthur a little bit. Like, Arthur was like, yeah, you know, it's year three. This is the year we're supposed to win. And I think he was being, I thought he was being 100% honest about it last year. It just felt manufactured. This year, it kind of feels like, you know what? We're not going to sit here and hype it up. We know we got a quarterback. We know we got an offense that can go. We got a system that fits the offense. Because if you think about it, and we talked about it with Kirk yesterday, this is pretty much the only system he's ever ran. Right. He ran a little bit different one, I think, with John Gruden, not John Gruden, but John Gruden's brother, Jay Gruden. Yeah. And it was a little bit different, but it was still a lot the same. But there's different nuances of it. And it just felt so manufactured last year. That I agree with what you said about the wins and loss thing, but I also give Terry a little bit of respect, just not getting up there and doing this hype thing where we just want to make our fans proud. Well, you know what? If you understand what makes your fans proud, it's winning. And if that's what you're saying, then I'm good with it.
Look, all right, we got to get some Olympics right here. Obviously, one of the big ones last night that I actually caught, Katie Ledecky. I don't know if you guys watched this. Just, she's the only one in the frame at the end of the race. I can't even remember what event it was that she was.
1,500 meters, so it's the mile.
1,500 meters, which is absolutely insane, but she is so far out in front of everybody, it was extremely impressive.
It's funny because, you know, they have a long time to talk about this swim, so they will go to interviews in the middle of it, and the announcers will break down what they're thinking about, and so that was one of the things that I've always thought about is, what the heck are you thinking about on a 1,500-meter swim? Right. I'm thinking about
not
dying.
Gash yourself out early?
She actually takes herself mentally to a different place, and she said, I can't focus on things that make me think too hard. It has to be constructive. So she has like motivational voices in her head, and she tries to repeat that over and over. And she said, usually she gets cramps about the last 500 meters, but she'll push through it. That's when she was the fastest. That's when you were talking about her separating from the field. I mean, it was unbelievable to watch what she did. It looked like she could have lapped some of those other women in the pool.
Yeah, quickly, Bo, the U.S. men's national basketball team beat South Sudan 103-86 yesterday. Bam Adebayo having a big role in that, but they roll on.
Yeah, it was a little bit of bully ball. And honestly, if you look at the way the bench played yesterday, they had four guys coming off the bench in double digits, whereas they only had two starters in double digits. And finally, Finally, everyone can rest easy. Jason Tatum got his minutes. he got 17 of them for a whole 4 points. But you know what? Doesn't matter. They won. I also love the real quick on the Katie Ledecky stuff. The ACC seemed to really love the fact that Katie Ledecky brought home the gold, and she went to a school that was not even in the ACC when she went there. But you know what? ACC legend.
I'm here for it, man. Look, when we come back, you're going to hear me and Bo's interview with QB1 Kirk Cousins. You don't want to miss that. I promise you. It's awesome, awesome stuff from Kirk Cousins. That's coming up next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Good morning.
Yeah!
Back to more of the Morning Shift
with Tiffany, Mike, and Bo on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 6:43 here on a Thursday morning. Hanging out, talking a lot of Atlanta Falcons. Coming up at the top of the hour, you will hear me and Bo talking to QB1, Kirk Cousins. A lot of fun yesterday after practice. Maria Martin hanging out in studio with us today. She's been kind enough to join us now back-to-back days. Hopefully we are not scaring her off anytime soon, but great info so far, man. So do you have to get in bed a little bit early last night?
A little bit. I tried. Yeah. I got a long day again today.
It can be harder than people realize to actually go to sleep.
It's so hard.
It's
especially because I'm used to being up late at night and watching games at night and stuff. So I'm laying there at 9 o'clock and just staring.
Are you a melatonin user?
No.
Yeah.
It makes me feel bad the next day.
Melatonin to me, so I've had to like settle into it. The biggest issue I ever had with it is it makes me dream just crazy dreams.
Yeah, I could see that.
Crazy, crazy dreams. But I've had to settle into it in the last couple of years doing this job, and it's a lot. It's a useful tool. Useful tool. I don't know. I don't think you use melatonin.
No, I don't need help falling asleep. I can fall asleep anywhere.
You're gonna definitely be that uncle at Thanksgiving that is that guy that has his fingers crossed on his chest like this, or right on top of his little belly, and just
everyone's just goes taking to sleep. Pictures.
A little tryptophan gets you.
Yeah.
During Thanksgiving, have you ever fallen asleep like with your plate on you?
Oh, that's a good question.
Are you one of those ones?
I don't know if he's there just yet.
I mean,
getting there.
Do I look like it?
Get put in a food coma. I know I am. No, I ain't falling.
I feel like you're capable of it. I don't think you do it often, but I feel like you're capable of it.
Yeah.
No, I will fall asleep, but not with my plate sitting on my stomach. I mean, I'm not a slob.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
You know, like I
his standards.
I know how to. I will. I'm more of a one plate, and then I go back over and over and over again, and then start grazing because I'm one of those people. If I'll eat a big meal, and like an hour later, I'm like, kind of want another dinner roll, maybe another slice of
you're
turkey.
A grazer.
Yeah, I'm a grazer. Bad grazer.
All right, so the Atlanta Falcons yesterday took the practice field. They had to move it up. If you listened to the show yesterday, we all got up to Flowery Branch. We realized the power was out at the facility. We all beelined it back down to Midtown to be able to put a show on the air, and then all three of us headed back up to Flowery Branch. Maria obviously having to do her work. And me and Bo catching up with Kirk Cousins after practice, but practice moved around a lot yesterday, moved up, and it was a little bit different vibe out there. And it has been throughout camp because the fans are not there, right? Well, yesterday, Terry Fontenot talked to the media and he said, look, man, wins and losses are great. We want to make our fans proud.
Look, our expectation is we all have high standards because of what we see out there, right? We have a lot of belief in this team. We never put specific numbers on it. We just want to get the most out of this team. Like, that's what, when you go into every year, what you want to know is that we got the most of everything. We got the most of this team. When that adversity comes, which it is going to come, we handle it the right way. We have a resilient team. We have a tough team, and we're getting the most of it. And you want, again, for our fans, like, you want to represent our fans the right way. You want them to be proud of this team. You want them to know that whether it's a home game or whether I'm going through all this travel and these headaches to go see my team on the road, they know that when I come in that stadium, we have a good chance to win that game, and they can go away proud. So that's what we want. So how that looks, exactly how many games or whatever that is, we just know that we have a lot of confidence in our team, and we want to make sure we get the most of it.
Maria, I'll be honest. I'm not going to say it scares me, but whenever somebody says, oh, wins and losses, it is what it is. We just want to make our guys proud. I'm like, are we supposed to be excited about that? Because, look, the fans will get another look at this team tomorrow at Mercedes-Benz.
I have more respect for people who come out and say wins matter, because they do. And at the end of the day, wins are what measures a team by your success. And I think, you know, I haven't been around Atlanta for very long, but I've been here since 2019. So I've been around the Falcons a decent amount of time to get a pretty good pulse on the fan base. This, to me, feels the most excited they've been since I've been here, which for good reason. They're excited heading into the season, all that good stuff. But I think one of the most important things that I took away from all those conversations yesterday up in Flowery Branch was Kirk Cousins was asked by Joe Patrick about Matt Ryan's comments to the team and this fan base and what it's like. And Kirk said that my biggest takeaway was this is a city that if you win, it would be something incredibly special. And it was one of his biggest pulls to Atlanta. So, yeah, it does matter. I mean, the fans obviously matter, and it feels so bizarre not having fans in Flowery Branch.
It does.
It doesn't feel like training camp. It just feels like, I don't know, OTAs or something. But I really want them to say that winning matters because it does, and we're at the point where the Falcons really do need to win and to prove that all this work that they've had in the offseason is going to pay off with hopefully wins.
It's funny because, and I was trying to do it too last year, like get myself excited about Desmond Ridder and about what the offense could be. It felt very manufactured last year from GM, head coach, and honestly, Arthur a little bit. Like Arthur was like, yeah, you know, it's year three. This is the year we're supposed to win. And I think he was being, I thought he was being 100% honest about it last year. It just felt manufactured. This year, it kind of feels like, you know what? We're not going to sit here and hype it up. We know we got a quarterback. We know we got an offense that can go. We got a system that fits the offense. Because if you think about it, and we talked about it with Kirk yesterday, this is pretty much the only system he's ever ran. Right. He ran a little bit different one, I think, John Gruden's brother, Jay Gruden. Yep. And it was a little bit different, but it was still a lot the same. But there's different nuances of it. And it just felt so manufactured last year. That I agree with what you said about the wins and loss thing, but I also give Terry a little bit of respect just not getting up there and doing this hype thing where we just want to make our fans proud. Well, you know what? If you understand what makes your fans proud, it's winning. And if that's what you're saying, then I'm good with it.
Look, all right, we got to get some Olympics right here. Obviously, one of the big ones last night that I actually caught, Katie Ledecky. I don't know if you guys watched this. Just she's the only one in the frame at the end of the race. I can't even remember what event it was that she was.
1,500 meters, so it's the mile.
1,500.
1,500.
1,500 meters, which is absolutely insane, but she is so far out in front of everybody, it was extremely impressive.
It's funny because, you know, they have a long time to talk about this swim, so they will go to interviews in the middle of it, and the announcers will break down what they're thinking about, and so that was one of the things that I've always thought about is, what the heck are you thinking about on a 1,500-meter swim? Right. I'm thinking about
not
dying.
Gas yourself out early?
She actually takes herself mentally to a different place, and she said, I can't focus on things that make me think too hard. It has to be constructive. So she has like motivational voices in her head and she tries to repeat that over and over. And she said, usually she gets cramps about the last 500 meters, but she'll push through it. That's when she was the fastest. That's when you were talking about her separating from the field. I mean, it was unbelievable to watch what she did. It looked like she could have lapped some of those other women in the pool.
Yeah. Quickly, Bo, the U.S. men's national basketball team beat South Sudan 103-86 yesterday. Bam Adebayo having a big role in that, but they roll on.
Yeah, it was a little bit of bully ball. And honestly, if you look at the way the bench played yesterday, they had four guys coming off the bench in double digits, whereas they only had two starters in double digits. And finally, everyone can rest easy. Jason Tatum got his minutes. he got 17 of them for a whole 4 points. But you know what? Doesn't matter. They won. I also love the real quick on the Katie Ledecky stuff. The ACC seemed to really love the fact that Katie Ledecky brought home the gold, and she went to a school that was not even in the ACC when she went there. But you know what? ACC legend.
I'm here for it, man. Look, when we come back, you're going to hear me and Bo's interview with QB1 Kirk Cousins. You don't want to miss that. I promise you. It's awesome, awesome stuff from Kirk Cousins. That's coming up next on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number
1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.